Praise God. Good to see everybody this morning. I feel my weakness and need more than usual, but that's a good thing, isn't it? If we actually believe what the Lord said, His strength is made perfect in weakness. And I've been just meditating this week, and particularly in the last two or three days, about something that I feel like is so central to every one of our lives that I don't even know how to convey it. I need it myself. But here's the foundation of it, I guess, is simply this. If you were to ask, or if you were to answer the question, what is God like in one word, what would that word be? It would be love. That's God is love. That's the essence of His nature. Well, you and I were created in the image of God, were we not? Yeah. So the most central part of our being is meant to be characterized by love. We were born with an innate hunger to love and be loved. And obviously we have come to live in a broken world where we have been separated from the source of that love. And it's not hard to see how the devil uses that to cause people to just run for something. There's something that's not just in here. It's not a question of the mind and the intellect. This gets way down into the very depths of every heart. We hunger to be loved, to feel like we matter, to feel like somebody cares. You put it in so many different ways, and it comes in all of our different personalities. We react differently, but that is so central to everything. And I wonder if we realize that sometimes. There's so many implications to this, and I'm very conscious of, you know, my own situation, my own needs, and how easy it is for us to get sidetracked and live in bondage and ignorance and weakness and so many things that are wrong because that issue right there is not really resolved. And people grow up in all kinds of circumstances and situations, don't they? I mean, there are some that are fortunate enough to grow up in a loving home that's modeled at least to in varying degrees to the design of our Creator. And they experience the sense of, yes, I belong, yes, I am loved. But even there, it goes deeper than just what we are capable of experiencing under the best of earthly circumstances. But what about those who don't grow up that way, who are wounded by life, who grow up without that sense of love that is at the core of their being? What happens to them? How do they deal with that? And boy, all you have to do is look around and you see. You know, it kind of came back to my mind in part because Brother Ron sent a message to a few of us. And in it, he referred to a book that I had recommended to several a while back. And it's called Love Hunger. Some of you may have, most of you probably never heard of it. But how many of you remember the movie documentary that we saw a number of years ago? And it was Such Were Some of You. Yeah. Powerful testimony, documentary of people whose lives had been totally broken, principally in sexual sin, sexual deviancy of various kinds, and yet had been totally healed and delivered from that. And they weren't delivered because of psychiatry and medication. They weren't delivered by therapy. They were delivered because Christ took up residence in the heart and He healed the broken places, and He came in with His love. That's what it takes, folks. There is nothing, there is no substitute for Christ coming in. But what a testimony that book is. I won't go into all of it. wouldn't have time. But the man who was behind the ministry that actually put out that documentary and has been a minister in that area for decades now, tremendous help to somebody. Boy, he went through about every form of brokenness that there is in this planet. And he expounds his own life and shares the details of his own brokenness. And just to kind of give a little bit of a picture, he grew up in the home of a minister. Now, I got to wonder if the minister even knew the Lord, but whatever it was, he was ministering out of a tradition. And he had inherited a lot of his characteristics from his father, and they were handed on down. But basically, he was a hard man. He was a very legalistic man. If you didn't do what he said, he was full of anger. And to put it simply, this boy, this very sensitive young man, grew up without any sense of being loved. And his own reaction was one of hatred and rebellion. Pretty natural reactions for a human being. And that drove him to run out there and seek for something to touch that broken area of his heart. And he sampled everything the devil had to offer, from drugs and drinking to sexual brokenness of about every kind you can think of. He was in the Hollywood scene for a time. On top of that, he became part of a messianic cult, thinking that was the answer. And it was just a litany of stuff, of brokenness. In fact, some of you may remember I used the example recently of a man, and this was the man, who had in his past life, there was an association between, as it turns out, it was Hollywood Boulevard. Every time he had gone in this broken life, every time he'd gone through Hollywood Boulevard, there was a lifestyle that was just a part of him. And it was just something that drew him and sucked him in, and he just couldn't, it was a temptation that he just couldn't resist, and he lived it out. A double life, a horrible, broken life. And when he came to the Lord, finally, the Lord began to heal and began to deal with the things in his heart and in his life. And he came to that point where he said, Lord, I can't go down Hollywood Boulevard without feeling that temptation. It begins to pull on me, it begins to overcome me. And the Lord, help me so I can do that. And the Lord said, well, don't go down that road. There's a time when we just need to step back and say, Lord, help us to walk in, help us not to put ourselves in places of weakness and temptation. Amen. Now, I strongly suspect that decades later now, he could do that, and God has healed him to the point where that's not a problem anymore. But folks, we need, boy, do we need something that goes down to the depths of our being. Amen. And what a powerful testimony that is of how God sometimes works to take somebody, allow them to go through that life, to experience that level of brokenness, the love hunger, the crying out for the thing for which we were made, for which we were created, to allow him to go through all of that, and then to rescue him and to fill him with the one who is the author of love. What a powerful position that man occupies now to help people who are going through the same things that he went through. Where do you see the wisdom and the mercy of God? To take something and redeem that, and now he has become a powerful, nobody can look at him and say, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, I do. I've been there, and I've been deeper than you've ever thought about. And yet he can point to the author of love and know that there is an answer to the depths of your need. Yes. Brother Ricky, look at what the Lord allowed him to go through in his life, but look at the fruit of that and the result that God has allowed him to be in a position to talk to somebody else and say, I know the answer. Yes. The answer is not a set of principles, it's not a better way of life, it's a person, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If we were just to simply expound scriptures that tell us that God is love and that he loves us, I mean, we could sit here all day and read scripture, couldn't we? I think everybody who's ever come to the Lord in any measure at all, that's the foundation of it, that God loves me, and he demonstrated that love by sending his son to the cross to bear my sins so that they could be put away and the barrier between me and a holy God could be broken, and now I could enter into an actual relationship with him. Amen. I mean, that's the gospel. That's the hope to which everyone has been called. And if you and I have been called to that, folks, we know that God is love, don't we? Praise God. I'm just trusting God to put this in order. I've had different areas of thought here, and I don't know, this may not even go on that long, but I want the Lord to get across the burden of my heart today. You know, I remember something that happened that illustrates the issue. Back when Sue and I were living in Lake City, we were there when the church actually, which had been founded in Jacksonville and been in McClenny briefly, and then it was actually being established in Lake City. That's the church that's still there. I remember being out there with Brother John B. actually digging on the footer. And it was 1972, the summer, that it was actually the church began to be built, was built, because it didn't take that long then. And I remember being part of the congregation, and there were a few occasions when we as a congregation, Brother Thomas included, would actually go out and visit another church. And one of the churches that we went to, just for one service, was would have been classified as Pentecostal. And it was probably 10 miles down the road south of the church, best I remember. And the one thing that sticks in my mind from that service is the preacher, who said in the course of his message, obviously his remarks were directed at us, but his statement was, "You've got the doctrine, I've got the experience." Well, you know where that's coming from. You can emphasize both sides to the point where you've got a problem. If we have doctrine and if we have experience without being anchored to the truth, I mean, the devil can jump in on that and lead you off into Never Never Land of experience. And you become the measure of whether that's valid or not, rather than it being anchored to truth. But the man had a point, too. If all we've got is doctrine, what do we have? See, we could easily fall into a trap of simply mentally acknowledging a lot of things that are true, that are in the Word. We can see them. They're there. I mean, there's no question. And yet not really enter into the experience of that on a personal level. Is that a danger? That's how churches die. We know what the truth is. We're gonna stand on it until we die, and yet people live in bondage. People sing about all the glorious things that we have in the Lord. There is a place in God where rest is complete. You know, you may find it today, and there's no rest at all in here, or very little. And I've just been convicted in my own heart how great my own need is, but all of us. You know, if I asked you the question, do you believe God loves you? Intellectually, I think pretty much everybody here would say, yes, I believe that. And you could point to the scripture and you could say it. But how many of us live as if he doesn't really, or we're not quite so sure of that? See, that's an issue. Now it's getting quiet. But I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart, if God is love, that's the essence of everything. And if he has demonstrated his love by opening a way where we can know him, we can have a relationship with him, isn't the heart of that love? Shouldn't we have a sense of being loved that has nothing to do with our earthly experiences and our earthly relationships? Is this an issue? Yeah, it's a big one. I'll guarantee there are people here who live as if, who in your heart of hearts, you're not quite so sure about whether God actually loves you. Now it is quiet. If he loved me, things would be different. If he loved me, I would feel different. If he loved me, this relationship would work out, or what I want would work out, or 1,001 lies the enemy pours into our hearts and our minds to fill us with doubt, to make something of this earth the measure of whether God actually cares about me, whether I matter to anybody. And so he keeps us on that merry-go-round or that treadmill, whatever you want to call it, where we're constantly trying to get some kind of reassurance that we actually matter to somebody. And all God wants to do is share his love with us. Are you satisfied just to know the doctrinal truth and believe it and go to heaven one day? Is that what God, that all this is about? And sing about it and then not really enjoy it? You know, I remember, I don't remember where it's at, but there's a scripture, and the way the King James translates it, it's one of the prophecies, and it speaks of a time when God's people would possess their possessions. You know, what good would it do if someone were to leave you some vast amount of money in the bank, all of a sudden you got $100 million there, and you say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, and yet you go home every day or you're homeless, and you don't have enough to eat, and you're wearing rags. What good is that? What good is all of the riches of God that we have in Christ Jesus if we're not enjoying them? Does God not want us to begin to say, hey, wait a minute, Lord, that means me. Lord, I'm not going to just sit here and accept the lies of the enemy and keep chasing this something to fill the void when you have already given me in Jesus Christ everything that I need. Folks, we got a world of people whose hearts are filled with emptiness and pain. And the reason they're hooked on drugs and alcohol and sex and 1,001 other things is because they're trying to medicate the pain. Amen. If Christ fills that void, they don't need that stuff anymore. There are things in your life and in mine that we think we need. We gravitate to them. We fall into this and that and the other thing. And there's a bondage that's ongoing. The reason is not the thing. The reason is we're trying to deal with this somehow other than God's way. We don't really believe him. We don't really. I mean, we would say it if I asked you, did God love you? Oh, yes, he does. Then why do we live as if he doesn't? Why do we act? Why in our emotional life are we so unsettled and unsure and just constantly needing reassurance? Oh, do I matter? Do I matter to anybody? Who cares? I need you to keep telling me. God wants us to have a foundation deep in here so that in one sense it doesn't matter what happens, because our source of hope, our source of love that goes beyond anything you can imagine, comes from him. Amen. And not from worldly things. You will never, ever, ever satisfy the empty hole in a human heart with anything that comes from this world. It's not here. And my mind went to a scripture. I'm going to get, probably before the Lord willing, get back to some things I actually said last week and Wednesday night. But my mind went to a scripture, and I couldn't think where it was Wednesday night. I was thinking about it and thinking about it. It didn't come to me, and finally did. It's in a familiar passage in Ephesians 3, one we've read many times. I'm going to attempt to read out of the NLT. This is not large print, so I'll do my best. But I just thought I'd do that to give it a little bit of a different flavor. But the truth is the same. But think about where Paul's coming from. He has been unfolding to the Ephesian believers the greatness, the certainty of God's plan, because he conceived it before the foundation of the world. He was motivated by love then. There's a certainty that we're pointing to the end of the age when Christ is going to finish the job. We didn't come into this because we were worthy, but because by grace, he reached down and empowered us to put our faith in him, in what he had done. And he's building us together as a place to live. I mean, you go through chapters 1 and 2. That's kind of a summary of it. It's who we are in him. It isn't a matter about who you are in the world. Well, who cares? I want to be somebody to him. If I'm nobody in the eyes of the world, that means nothing in the ultimate sense if I know him down here. He's the only one that can satisfy. So think about this. Paul is of course, writing, as I said, to the Ephesian believers. Now, these are believers. Paul is not trying to somehow convince them intellectually, hey, God loves you. There's a deeper issue that Paul is dealing with. And so praise God. I'm going to just pick this up a little bit before the passage I'm getting to. He talks about his ministry. And verse 10, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Basically, he's saying, you know, the devil and his crowd, they didn't have a clue what I was doing, and they rebelled against me, and they have been complete darkness, complete ignorance of what this was all about. And I let them go along in darkness. I hid my purposes from them until it was accomplished in Jesus Christ, and now there's nothing they can do about it. But when it comes to letting the devil know what this has been about, I'm going to do it through the church. I'm going to show him what I've been up to. I'm going to show him what my purpose is. Praise God. All right. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out. Past tense, done. His eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ, not because of you, not because of me, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Boy, pretty plain, isn't it? Now, here's Paul's second prayer. He prayed earlier that they would have knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He wanted them to get the picture, but now there's a deeper issue Paul is concerned about. And Paul is concerned about this very thing. It's not enough to mentally affirm the doctrine, Christ loves me, he died for me, I have hope because of him. That's wonderful. That's the foundation. But there's got to be something that goes beyond that if we're going to have any kind of a life in this world. Because otherwise, we're just going to go right along doing things like the world does more than we might want to admit. And we're going to suffer lack because of it. So now his prayer is this: when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. All right, what's the prayer? I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. Is that enough? His glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Anybody need that? Yeah, I don't have it. My only hope to have any kind of strength to live for him has got to come from him. I'm nothing but weakness. And if you don't know that, then your pathway to what we're talking about is going to have to be by finding out you're weak. Don't be discouraged by that. It's God's mercy when he shows you. Okay? All right? Inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Now, here's where Paul is getting to the heart of what he's trying to get to. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Folks, every one of us here has roots. Your heart by nature will reach out for something that is meant to be a form of sustenance, of nutrients for your soul. But people are putting their roots out in all kinds of directions. You know, we sang this morning about the woman at the well. She was putting out roots, wasn't she? Desperate roots. And they led her from one man to another. And I can only imagine that she'd just come out of a relationship and here's somebody else. There, maybe that's the answer. Oh, I finally feel loved. I feel something that makes me feel good, and I'm going to latch on to that. That's going to answer the cry of my heart. And then round and round that mountain she went, empty. All it did was lead her in the wrong direction. You know, we have the expression, but somebody who looks for love in all the wrong places, that's a pretty good picture of the whole world in one fashion or another. But I'll tell you, there is a place where God wants he wants our roots not to be in a relationship. How many people are so emotionally dependent upon, they think their satisfaction is going to come from somebody. Oh, if they will only satisfy my needs. Is this the truth? Yeah. They allow themselves to become so emotionally dependent upon somebody, and what they call love is really a self-driven thing. It's for me. And so sometimes, so much of the time, you get two people together, and they're emotionally needy, and they think maybe if we get together, oh, and I feel an attraction. It's emotional, it's bodily, it's a whole lot of different things. I feel attracted. Now, if we can just get together, and then I can use them to satisfy my needs, and they can use me. Good God, is that what God designed us for? That is so hopeless and messed up. That's the world we live in, folks. But how many of God's people are trapped trying to put their roots in places that will never, ever answer the cry of the heart? And you think about people like the guy who wrote Love, Hunger, grew up in that kind of a home, hungering for love to feel like I matter to somebody. There's an emptiness I can't fill. God allowed him to be this kind of person. He was a very deep emotional person, and yet somebody who had a grasp mentally of what was going on and a total recall. I'm astounded when I read that, the ability to remember thoughts and feelings and the details of stuff that happened decades before. God just designed the guy for the place, his place in the kingdom. Thank God for it. But oh, I'll tell you what. How many people, where are your roots? I'll just ask a simple question. Where are your roots when it comes to your sense of well-being? Your sense of who am I and do I matter? Where are your roots going down? Where are you looking to find that answer in your heart and in your life? Where are you looking? It's a serious question, isn't it? And I'll tell you, if we answer it honestly, many times we're looking in the wrong place. And all of a sudden we get full of self-pity because we're not getting it. And I feel bad. And so I'm going to eat a box of chocolates. Or I'm going to go the wrong place on the computer. Or I'm going to do something to kind of make me feel good for a little while. It's at least some kind of feeling. Bondages, and all of it because we're looking for love in all the wrong places. And God longs to share himself. Do you think he's sitting back and saying, yeah, when you get it right, we'll get together here? God is reaching. God, his nature is love. It's not to say you measure up and then I'll love you. He says, I love you and I will help you. I will give you what you need. That's the whole point of that's the essence of my being, is to pour myself out on your behalf so that I can lift you up and make you what I designed you to be in the beginning. God just wants us to wake up and reach out to him. There are people whose lives are in bondage to different things right here, and the root of it is you don't believe God loves you. There are things down here that have never been healed because you've never really let him in. You've never forgiven somebody, or you've never realized you were trying to look for something that just wasn't there. That isn't where God meant you to look for it. He wanted you to look to him. Amen. Folks, if our roots are in the love of Christ, then we have a solid foundation because his love never fails. Amen. You'll never find any other source on this planet. But Paul is not just talking about theology here, is he? This is a weakness of mine, and I'm conscious of it. It's awfully easy because I think God's given me a teacher's mind to some degree at least. And so I tend to think about things up here. But what good is that if all we do is get information across? God wants us to have the information, but he wants us to have the genuine experience where we can literally, day by day, moment by moment, in the depths of our own hearts where nobody else sees what's going on, we can come to a place where we know that we know that we know that we are loved. You get that right, and you will be surprised at all the stuff that you thought was necessary and needy in your life, and you won't need it anymore. Amen. There are people who've got to have a drink because it's an empty place. You fill the empty place and you don't need the other. Oh, God wants to set us free. This is Paul's burden. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Folks, that's what God is looking for. But this is not just theology, is it? This is life. This is being able to go through life and handle it because we know we've got a foundation. We've got something that will keep us strong. The wind may blow, all kinds of things may happen up here on the surface, but we got roots. And they're going to a good place. They're going to a sure place. Oh, how quickly does the devil make us doubt whether we really matter or whether anybody loves us. But I'll tell you, there's a God who wants you to know that he loves you this morning. All right? And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Well, now let's not stop at the theology of that. That's awesome, isn't it? In other words, you'll never come to the end of this. All eternity, you will never finish exploring and find the end of God's love. It just doesn't end. This is something that it just doesn't exist in the world. We talk about, you know, two people love each other. Well, thank God if there's any approximation of what God designed us to be. I'm thankful for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you what, that stops so incredibly short of what God desires us to know. He wants us to plunge in. He's saying, there you are living this life of bondage and fear and questioning and doubt and who am I and do I matter? And there's an infinite supply of the very thing you need. Jump in. Explore it. Don't be afraid. Now he gets to the heart of it. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And I think the Greek and a more basic translation would just say to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. But the word know there is not just an intellectual thing. This is an experiential thing. So this paraphrase here is getting the sense of what Paul was trying to say. Paul isn't trying to educate their minds. He's trying to bring their souls into a place of victory and liberty. I want you to know this. You know, when Paul talked about his own cry for God, about God and his own, what he wanted out of life, he didn't say, I want to know more about Christ. I want to get all my questions answered. I want to have all the answers to every possible question, every mystery solved, resolved in my mind. No, I want to know him. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, so forth. There's this knowledge that only comes from knowing somebody on a personal daily level. Do you know that Christ wants to walk with you? That he cares about the issues of your life, that he wants to walk through your life with you and strengthen you and give you what you need to handle it on a personal level? We live as if that isn't true much of the time, but it is, and He wants you to know that. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It's not just about life and power. Love is the foundation of that. What good are all these other things if we're uncertain of His love? Oh, how could God love somebody like me? Oh, how many things the devil tells us. Oh, look at you, straighten up and He'll love you. That's just legalism and bondage. Folks, you get a hold of this love, you're not going to be wanting to run out and take advantage of it. If this really dawns on you, there will be a peace, there will be a strength, there will be a rest, there will be all these things beginning to be formed. And I don't want to portray this as, you know, come down and get an experience and then you'll vault into this high realm. This is a day by day by day by day learning. And it isn't about thunder and lightning. In terms of spiritual experiences, it isn't about feelings. God wants us to have something that is deeper than all of that. Something that just gives us a sense of, I'm His and He's mine. I don't even have the feelings right now. I'm going through something difficult. But at the very base of it, I know that I'm His. I know He loves me. That's the anchor God wants to put in your soul and in mine. If we have that, we can do anything that He puts before us. That's why this is at the center. Don't you go looking somewhere else. Don't you depend on something else to find your sense of well-being. It comes from Him, and He wants you to have it. He wants you to have it today. He wants you to begin to reach out. If Paul was praying for them, shouldn't we be able to pray for ourselves? Isn't this something God wants? Doesn't that tell us, this is what I want? I don't want people just to do church right, believe the right creed. I want people to know me. I want people to become the objects of my love. And when they do that, they're going to find they have the power to love everybody else. Praise God. So, is this real? Is this possible? Amen. Well, let's see what he says. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us. See, that's where it has to happen, down here. Within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. That sound like this is possible? Yeah. The devil will constantly point out your weakness and your deficiencies and say, this can't happen because look at you. Well, that's why it's called salvation. God didn't simply give me a bunch of rules to follow and say, pick yourself up. Here's how you do it. He says, you're going to have to surrender and let me do the work. But if we'll just give ourselves to Him and ask Him to work down in here, change the way we see ourselves, the way we see Him, I'll tell you, and we let God heal the wounds that are down here, we're going to experience victories. Things that have had a hold on us won't have the hold that they did. You see how central this is? If God is love, that's what He is. Isn't that what He wants us as His children to be? Just empowered by a relationship with the author of love. Amen. To Him be the glory. And that's what he says, glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Praise God. Let me try to briefly tie this back. I did it just a little bit on Wednesday evening. But last week, You know, we were talking about Romans 5, and I'm just going to kind of go over it and just kind of, I don't want to go into any great depth, but I want to at least relate this. Because this gets into the how it happens. We see the need. We know that even though we've come to Christ, there is an ongoing need. We see that God's desire is that we enter into the experience of putting our roots down into His love and experiencing the benefits of that. Okay, so how does that happen in real life? And that's really what Romans 5 gets into. Because now we have come into a relationship with God. It's not based upon anything we did or that we deserve. It's based entirely on what He has done. And we now have peace with God. And we've entered into a purpose that goes way beyond this world. It goes on into eternity. So praise God. And we rejoice in that, in the hope that that gives us. It goes beyond, as I say. All right? Then, of course, we get into the part where we looked at last week. We can rejoice, too, also, when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us. Because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Now do you see how the experience of growing and becoming like Him and going through what it takes to get there is intimately related to God's love? And here's where we get tripped up so easily, is how God, what God has to do to accomplish this in us. The devil will be right there on our shoulder telling us, if God really loved you, things would be different. So-and-so would love you. Nothing ever works out. You're just God's red-headed stepchild. He doesn't really care about you. It's obvious. Look at how He's blessing so-and-so, and look at the situation you find yourselves in. And you have no feeling, so obviously He doesn't care. You know, 1,001 variations of those kinds of lies, where the devil is basically interpreting our lives for us. And here God is doing something that is necessary to make us what He wants us to be, because we're not like Him. To get there, we've got to go through things that change us. But yet the devil is interpreting what we have to go through as God doesn't care about you. So God wants us to understand these things and see them through in a different light, does He not? You know, Brother Steve, in the deacon and elders meeting the other night, reminded me of something that I said, and I'd forgotten this until he reminded me. But years ago, at some point in the past, I said in a message something like this: the virtues that God longs to form in us can only be formed when they are most difficult to exercise. Simple example. If somebody is kind to you, it's pretty easy to be kind to them. But if somebody is especially unkind, then for you to be kind makes a real challenging choice on your part to say, I will do what I know is right, and God, you're going to have to help me with this because it's not in me to want to do it. Amen. But think about muscles. I mean, you know, you get up in the space station, you can lift a ton, something that would be a ton down here. No problem. There's no weight. But one of the biggest problems with the space station and the space program is for people who stay up there a long period of time, they lose their muscles. For muscles to grow and be strong, they require resistance. That's why we hate to exercise. We don't want what it takes. Talking to myself now. But isn't that obvious? If God wants you and me to be loving, forgiving, to have the kind of Christ-like spirit, regardless of how people react to us, we're going to have to go against our own nature. We're going to have to stand in the face of circumstances. We're going to have to stand when it doesn't feel like the right thing to do. We're not depending upon our feelings. In fact, our feelings are just the opposite. We're going to have to be willing to stretch forth our hands as Jesus himself did. Amen. With strong crying and tears sometimes, and say, "Oh God, help me. I want to be the person you want." And so, do you see how this is all flowing together? When God gives you adversity, does that mean he doesn't love you? It's just the opposite. Amen. He sees needs in you where he wants to form him, the expression of his own nature. He wants to live in us, doesn't he? How can he do that if we're just like the people of the world? He's got some work to do. Got plenty to do on me. Maybe you all have arrived. I don't know, but no, I do know. See, do you see why Paul is able to say a ridiculous thing like we rejoice when in difficulties? Well, because he saw it from God's point of view. God, I get what you're doing. See, here's the thing. If I run into a situation where I got to go against my own nature, I've got to trust God for the strength to do something. Well, when he comes in by his Spirit, is he not love? Doesn't he bring his love with him? Doesn't he give me a greater capacity to love? Am I not experiencing his love? When he's looking at me and I'm struggling and maybe I've even messed up and I'm getting up and I'm saying, "Oh God, help me with this." And he does? Isn't that his love in action? How many times have you and I been in places where if we had been running the show, we would have thrown ourselves in the garbage and said, "I'm through with you. You've messed up too bad." And God doesn't give up. There he is. We got through stewing and crying and bawling and being sorry for ourselves, and there he is. Okay, get up and go on. I still love you. God knew what he was getting himself into. That's what this is about. And so when he puts us through these things that build the qualities of character, do you think it's any accident that he goes immediately into an expression of God's love? This hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know that how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. But how many times do we bellyache and complain and get our focus on the wrong thing, and we're missing out on letting God change us? Folks, the thing that we need here in the nitty-gritty of life, the kinds of things that we've talked about so many times, if you're depending on feelings and circumstances for to satisfy this, you are in for a rough ride. You're not going to find it here. God wants us to make choices in these kinds of circumstances that are in harmony with his revealed will, with his heart. When we make those choices to forgive when someone wrongs us and we don't feel like it, but we choose to do it anyway because it's right, and we say, "God, you're going to have to help me," and he does. You see, we're being changed into his image. Amen. Now, why did God put you into that place in the first place? Did he do it because he was mad at you and hated you? He did it because he saw a need and he loves you enough to do something about it. Do you see why Paul could rejoice in something like this? He said, "God, this is not evidence that you hate me. This is evidence that you love me, that you care." You know, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Oh, how we need to see his heart in the things that are necessary to accomplish his will in our lives. This is such a basic thing. I don't even know how to convey it. All I can say is, Lord, you're going to have to make this real to people's hearts. So we just don't go out there and say, "Oh, that was good. That was nice doctrine, nice truth." God wants you and me to take this out of here. and change the way we make choices in life. Do we thank Him when we don't feel like it? Do we praise Him in circumstances that are difficult? Do we trust Him when it feels like we're being let down? Because we think we know what we're supposed to, how things are supposed to happen, and they don't happen that way. So therefore, we're being let down, so therefore God doesn't really care. God, deliver us. And help us to learn how to walk by faith and trust in the love of God. And we will experience something that will give us a rest down in here and a victory over many things that have held us in bondage. God wants you to know deeper, in a deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper way, that you are loved with an everlasting love. You read Psalm 136 sometime. It's a long series of statements and exhortations. Every single one of them is because for His mercy or for His love endures forever, for His faithful love endures forever, depending on the translation. That's what God wants you to know this morning. Where are you at? Where are your roots? Are you living as if God's love is a nice doctrine, but it doesn't really help me in my practical life? God wants it to get into every area of your being and set you free from all the things that cause you to be anxious and fearful and run in this direction and that one. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. That's where it all comes from. Boy, if we can just humble ourselves and let Him come and be who He is, there are so many areas of need and unrest that God will heal. He doesn't want a generation of people who simply do church right and believe the right stuff. He wants people who know Him. And then when people encounter us, they will encounter Him in us. There's no way to learn it except what we're talking about here this morning. To cry out and say, God, I want to know that You love me in the deepest part of my being. I am not going to wait for a feeling. I'm going to make the choices that I know You want me to make. I'm going to do it with the understanding that I can't do this, but that You have offered to come and do it in me. So come and live in me in this circumstance or that one or the other thing. Help me not to sink down into these stupid little cesspools of self-pity and bitterness and unforgiveness and all these other kinds of things that so easily beset us. I'll tell you, there's a God who will take us to higher places in Him and deeper places. Where are your roots today? God wants you and me to put our roots deeper. There's no end to where those roots can go. They're going to carry us through, folks, and we're going to need Him. We need something that's totally supernatural. God, if we get through this and we live with any kind of victory and any kind of usefulness to the body of Christ, God wants to set His people free so that we can be who we were created to be. Only His love can do that. But it's only His experience of that love that can do it. To Him be glory in the church through all ages, through Christ Jesus. Praise God.